podcast. Thank you so much. Well, we've had a precious time in the Lord already, and there's more to come. Anybody ready for some word this morning? All right, this is Kingdom Comfort. And if you're just now joining us, you need to go back over the past three messages on Kingdom Comfort, and because it's important for you to catch up. I'm going to do a tiny review this morning, but I can't go back and cover it all. It's so important to me. It's been so precious to me. I will stop there, and we'll just preach the same thing all over again, because I'm good for that. But we want to cover new ground with you. Amen. So that's important. But let's take a quick look over especially what we covered a couple weeks ago. We had Pastor Justin preaching last week, and I want to kind of catch you up. And we'll just kick off here with 1 Peter 5, verse 5. And it says likewise. And when it says likewise, it means that, you know, because of the verses that we've covered, it's very similar of how to apply this. And the former verses, actually, we're talking about leadership. And you say, well, I'm not in a leadership position. Well, if you're in a family, you are. You're in some level of leadership. As a matter of fact, if you're a mom or a dad, then you know what? You're a shepherd and an under-shepherd, and you got a little flock there. Even if it's just one, it's a flock. Okay, and every sheep, every lamb is very, very important to the Lord. And it speaks of leadership that, you know, our focus needs to remain on the sufferings of Christ, on the works of the cross, and needs to practice remembering and reflecting on the glory of the Lord. Now, the reward of the Lord is very, very real and very precious, and it's not just for heaven. It is for heaven. It's okay to reflect and recognize and to remember heaven. I want to tell you that's inspirational. That will encourage you. But it's very, very important to remember the works of the Lord on the cross. We never get far from that, because that's where our victory comes from. And it's important to remember the glory of the Lord. If you don't remember the rewards, it affects you. He loves for you to remember Him. I want to tell you a little secret here that may help you. Is that, you know what, one of the things about Cedric's not here this morning, but he played with my son Chris at University of Texas, and they played on the offensive line together. And it really tickles me that when I'm with Cedric, he wants to tell me stories about Chris on the field. And you know what? I like hearing it. I want to tell you, one of the ways to bless this dad is to talk about my sons. Are you listening? Father loves for you to think about His Son. He loves for you to talk about His Son. He loves for you to recall, and that's part of what communion is even, is that we're recalling to God's remembrance, even though He hasn't forgotten. He loves for us to recall to Him what His Son has done for us and how much His love is for us through His Son. He loves to hear about His Son. And it blesses Him for you to think upon His name. The latter part of Malachi describes that there's an angel recording even those who think about Him. And even those who talk of His name, there's called a book of remembrance. It's one of the books in heaven. And in the book of remembrance, an angel is recording every time you think about Him. It's precious to the Lord. Every time you speak of love life to one another, He's recording it because it's precious to Him. Do you see that? And so that's why it's important to keep that in mind. And it speaks of leadership that, you know, we don't operate the way the world operates. The world operates in a manipulative, domineering dictatorship. I the boss, I in charge, do this, put my thumb on you, try to make you, intimidate you to do something. No. 1 Peter 5, real clear about this. This is not the way we operate in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, even though there is spiritual authority, and that's to be respected, the way we operate with one another is through love. And you know what? It's through a living example, to be an example. In other words, it's a living example. We show leadership by our life and who we are, and not just what we say. Are you listening? And so, and when it comes to a family, it's the same way. You know what? We're to love each other as an example. and love each other in a way. And the Bible talks about humbling ourselves. Look at this. Likewise. And so in the same spirit of leadership, we're to operate. Whoever you are, whatever age you are, whatever rank you are, you're to operate in the same attitude of love life with the Lord and love life with one another. You got it? So here we are, verse 5. Likewise, you who are younger and of lesser rank, be subject to the elders. Be under authority. Humble yourself to those in authority. The ministers, spiritual guides of the church, giving them due respect and yielding to all their counsel. That would make a difference. And all the people said. Some of you need to say, oh me, but it's really true. Clothe, apron yourselves. We call it undergarments. How was that, beautiful blonde? She said, that's a better word. You see how I need her help. It's your undergarment. Clothe yourself with the undergarment of humility. This should be the first thing you put on. This should be something that don't come off. It's describing the garb of a servant, which he would tie up this garb because he had things to do and things to operate in where it couldn't possibly come apart or come off. In other words, this is the first thing you put on with your spiritual armor is to put on humility and toward one another. Now, the Bible says when we esteem others better than ourselves, that's love. Amen. When we don't count wrong against each other, that's love. When we speak well of one another, exhort and encourage and pray and love for one another, that's really what love is. 1 Corinthians 13 describes what love is. And I want to tell you, it doesn't keep records of wrong. Isn't that something? Okay. So if we are doing that, we're not loving. Amen, Brother Tim. That's true. And so I want to tell you, according to Proverbs, that wherever there is contention, now we know what that is, don't we? Whenever there is contention, there is pride. And so you can just mark it down somewhere, somehow, somewhere. There's pride when there's contention. As a matter of fact, when you feel this flesh being all stirred up and you're getting all worked up, guess what? Pride has done sneaked in. Well, you know what the cure to pride is to humble yourself. And when the Bible says that you esteem others better than yourself, look, hey, it would be hard for me to be irritated at James if I consider him better than I am. Are you with me? Now, if I get selfish and I get to thinking about myself, I'm about 3 or 4 notches over him. And he need to do what I say, and he need to do what I think even before I say it. You know, he need to read my mind. Aggravated that he don't. You understand? But if I am loving him, I'm humbling myself to him, I'm esteeming him over myself, then it's hard for me to irritate at him. Okay, so that's part of why it's so important. And that was verse 5, 6. For God sets himself against the proud, listen at this, the insolent, the overbearing, the disdainful, the presumption, the boastful. And he opposes, frustrates, and defeats them. But he gives grace, favor, and blessing to the humble. Now I want to ask you a question. Do you want favor and blessing on your family? You want favor and blessing on your workplace? You want favor and blessing on your church. And I want to tell you, one of the ways of God for us to receive and walk in favor and blessing is to humble ourselves before God and before man. Clothe the undergarments of humility. So we walk in humility before God and man. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you. Now look, this is not the way of the world. The way of the world is you stomp on people, you climb up the ladder, and you kick people off on your way up. That's the way of the world. That's not the way of God. You want God to honor you? You want God to raise you up? You humble yourself and you walk in humility. Jesus said, the greatest among you will be the servant. I think it fits. Do you see that? Okay. Casting the whole of your care. So one of the first things is to walk in humility before God and man. The next thing is to cast all of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, all your aggravations, all your disappointments, all your griefs, all your sorrows. Do you get the idea? Casting all of your care upon him. lay it at His feet. We call it the throne zone, where you bring everything to Him and you lay it at His feet. And you don't pick it up on the way out, but you lay it at His feet. And then you stay there, be still and know that He's God, and let Him love on you, because He wants to affectionately. You see affectionately? I want to tell you, you need to take time. We all must take time to get before our shepherd, lay the junk at His feet, and then practice letting Him love on us. This is life. This is Christian life. If you want to call yourself Christian and live like the world, just don't do this. But I'm telling you, you're going to miss out on a heaven of lot while you're here on earth. He cares for you affectionately, and He cares about you watchfully. He not only wants to minister to the with tenderness, tender loving care to your heart and minister to you, because when you are carrying worries and anxieties, they take stuff out of you. Am I right? I mean, they take life out of you. He wants to minister life to you and in you. And He watches over you watchfully. Look at this. Be well balanced. Now, it's one thing just to tell somebody to be balanced. But the way to be balanced, He's already covered in those two verses. Walk in humility before God and man, and casting your cares upon the Lord, and letting the Lord minister your heart. This gives you clarity. This puts you in a position where Jesus is the center, and you're in balance. And one of the things that we found to be true on the ball field, and Justin was a lineman. I mean, he was a big guy. When he showed up at college, he was already as strong as those that had been in the strength program for a couple years. He showed up that strong. I know that to be true. But I want to tell you, as strong as he was, and as big as he was, and as strong as he was, he knows this, I know this. If you're off balance, a little wimpy kicker can knock you over. Am I right? I mean, it's all about balance. And I want to tell you, if you're not balanced, you cannot be clear-minded. You're unbalanced. That's why they do the little test on people when they pull them over and they feel like they're not sober. Let's do the little test, because the test is going to prove whether you're balanced or not. If you're balanced, you're sober. I want to tell you something. That's a kingdom principle. If you are walking in humility before God and man, and if you cast your care upon the Lord and you let the Lord minister to your heart, it gives you sober-mindedness. It gives you clarity of vision where Jesus is the center. And you know what? When Jesus is the center and you have clear vision, you're balanced. If you're not balanced, it's easiest for the weakest demon in darkness to knock you over. Oh, the devil just did this to me. Well, were you balanced? Because I want to tell you, being balanced, let me just say this in a hurry. Whenever you find yourself falling or you find yourself on your back, as soon as you recognize it, call upon the Lord. But this is talking about a way to live. This is talking about being ready before the attack shows up. There's a lot of Christians that don't cry out to the Lord till they've been beat up, stomped on, rushed, mushed, crushed, and flushed. Then they call upon the Lord. Well, I'm glad you did. Anytime you call upon the Lord is a good time, but I'm here to say with you, what he's sharing here is how to be a victor and not a victim. The roaring lion that's roaring around, he's looking for a victim. You know what he's looking for? Somebody that's not sober. They're carrying a bunch of baggage of cares and worries and anxieties and offenses, and they're carrying all this baggage, and they can't walk very well, and they're carrying offenses, and you know what? They're walking in pride, and it makes one leg stick out real far because they're trying to be prideful. I do it on my own, and they can't walk straight. They're not clear-minded. They're not sober, and the enemy says that's an easy victim. Wow. The enemy's looking for victims, not for victors. But if you're walking in humility before God and man, casting your care upon the Lord, letting the Lord love on your heart, it gives you balanced vision. Jesus is the center. When you're aware and you see Him coming before He even gets there, because you're alert, sober-minded, somebody say amen, I'm balanced, you withstand Him. You resist Him. And it says, be firm in the faith. Against the onset, the very start of it. Rooted, grounded, immovable, strong. Does this sound like a victor? Or does this sound like a victim? Determined. Because sometimes in a battle it lasts for a while. But if you're determined, hey, the battle's not over till you win. If we don't quit, we win. Look at this. Knowing that the same identical sufferings are appointed to the brotherhood, the whole body of Christians throughout the world. This ought to encourage you in the fact that you're not the only one. The same kind of attack coming against your life is coming against believers around the world. Now I want to tell you, that ought to encourage you that you're not the only one. But it also needs to encourage you that the same grace that they're receiving around the world is for you. The same way of escape that Jesus is for Christians around the world, He's here for you. The same victory that He paid for on the cross for people around the world is for you. The same peace that He's implanted in you for believers suffering around the world is for you. The same joy, the same love, the same overcoming. Somebody say amen. You say, well, Brother Tim, that doesn't look like a lot of victory there in verse 9. Well, it talks about it in verse 10. I'm getting there. Be patient. Here I come. Okay, verse 10. And after you've suffered for a little while. Woo! Man, this ought to do your heart good. Because this is saying that what you're going through right now is temporary. It's for a little season. It's temporary. I want to tell you, God says it's temporary. You say, well, Brother Tim, it's been a year for me. Well, it's temporary. Well, Brother Tim, it's been a decade. It's temporary. I don't care how long it's been. It's temporary. You say, well, it's been longer than... No, no, no. God says. It's not what you say or what you feel. It's what God says. And I just want to make a little announcement here. If it's something that lasts 20, 30, 40 years, I want to tell you, we're to still stay true to the Word.
Word of God.
Stay true to the Word. Because I want to tell you something. In the millions and millions of years in heaven throughout all eternity, 50 years is temporary. You'll be thankful for every single moment you stayed true to the Lord. And you had faith and trusted in the Lord. But after you've suffered for a little while, you need to encourage yourself in the Lord. That it's temporary. This too shall pass. It's temporary. The God of all grace, who imparts all blessing and favor, and is coming to you, who has called you to His own eternal glory in Christ Jesus, and He shares His glory with us in heaven and here, He will Himself... that's good. Somebody say personally. The Lord personally. He Himself personally will complete and make you what you ought to be. He is transforming us. He's changing us. He's bringing us and forming us into an overcomer. It's called reigning training. And He's preparing you to reflect His glory throughout all the world. Wow. He Himself, Justin, that's good. He personally will complete and make you what you ought to be. He will establish you. He will ground you securely. He will strengthen and He will settle you. The Lord's not finished with you yet, but He's still working on you. That ought to encourage somebody. And He's promised to finish what He started. Oh man, I guess that does me more good than it does you. I preach myself happy on that. Psalm 46:1 says this. He's our refuge and strength. He's mighty, impenetrable to temptation. A very present and well-proved help in trouble. He's a very present and well-proved help. What the Lord's done for you before, He'll do again. What the Lord's done for others, He'll do for you. He's no respecter of persons. This is what He loves to do. And He loves to show Himself mighty. Now, it's no doubt that discouragement comes. So the question is, how are you going to respond when discouragement shows up on your doorstep? And, you know, I'm just going to share with you, you know, the Lord will give you wisdom. Sometimes there's patterns that we're not aware of. But when you pray and ask God for wisdom, He'll give you the answer. And our part is like Proverbs 16:1, to the preparation of the heart belongs to man. You prepare your heart before God. But it says the answer of the tongue comes from the Lord. The answer of the victory comes from the Lord. He'll show you what it is. I'll never forget, there was a period of time where I was traveling and speaking a lot. And I was still operating in ministry in a local church. So, man, I had it going at both ends. And we were getting after it. We were busy. And, man, I'd get in from traveling and speaking, and I'd get right after it. And I'll never forget that I found myself a couple weeks in a row being depressed on Tuesday. I'm talking about just depressed. No reason. I'm talking about depression jumping all over me every Tuesday. Well, after two or three Tuesdays, I kind of got to figuring that out. This is a pattern here. And so I'm praying and asking the Lord for wisdom. And you know what the Lord, look, this is wisdom. He had me change my schedule up. From getting back from traveling and ministering all week, getting back late on Sunday night, getting right to work on Monday morning and getting after things. He had me change my schedule up and move my word day, where I just saturate myself in the word, to Monday. He had me take my Tuesday to be my day off. And so I had a day of rest. I had a day of the word right after I got back. Spent all day in the word. You know, that'll refresh you and renew you and set your heart in balance toward the Lord. And then I took a day of rest where I relaxed and rested and took care of some things around the house. And you know what? It cured the Tuesday depression thing. And so you know what? That's not very deep. It's not very spiritual, but it was real practical. I want to tell you, God's practical. And if there's a pattern of something showing up in your life, He can help you with it. I want to describe to you, and I don't have time to preach on it. I'm just going to mention it, that God's created an emotional cup in you. And that emotional cup can just take so much. And you've got to take that emotional cup before the Lord. But I want to tell you, if your emotional cup is full of stuff that's not good, grief and sorrow and anger, and bad memories. And it don't take but just a little bitty something to cause that cup to spill over. And it ain't pretty what comes out. Amen? Am I preaching at the right place? But I'm here to tell you that God's designed your emotional cup to be on Him. And you take it to Him. And you need to let Him fill your emotional cup. And I want to tell you, it's very, very emotionally healthy for you to empty that emotional cup. And I think what God's designed, I'm going to share this with you, Pastor, because I think you'll catch it before everybody else. I think what God's designed as a healthy expression of emptying our emotional cup before Him is praise and thanksgiving and worship. And I want to tell you, when a human practices emptying their emotional cup before the Lord with exuberant praise, And real love life expression and emotional releasing to the Lord of all that they are in their love life with Him, I want to tell you, it's healthy. And if it's not done that way, it may be done in another way that may not be healthy. I tell you, it's just something for you to think on. Would you think on that and give us a report? Pastor James, I'm saying that because he's our praise and worship pastor, but I think something fits there. How are you going to respond? If you don't bring discouragement or your sorrow or grief to the Lord for exchange of His encouragement, peace, joy, and love, it's going to grow into something you don't like. It'll grow into depression. Okay? We need to practice this by faith, not by feeling. Emotion is not the marker. Faith's the marker. It's faith that moves the invisible, not our emotion. And so we need to let His Word give us direction. Now, according to the Bible, this Word is a mirror for us to look at to see what really is inside, what the real us looks like in Jesus. And that's what we're to trust. Now, we practice looking in mirrors to look at our face. I think I told you the story how that I, had gotten a call to go somewhere, and I rushed out into the truck and started to take off and happened to glance in the rearview mirror, and my hair was scary. Well, it didn't feel messed up. I couldn't feel it being messed up. But when I looked in the mirror, I trusted the mirror. And that's why I keep a hat in my truck, and I just reached back there. And it became a hat day. It was healed. But I want to tell you, we need to trust. We need to learn to trust what the Word of God says about us. And not what we feel. You can't feel what God says about you. But we need to look in the mirror of His Word right here and say, Jesus says, I have joy, peace, and love. That I'm loved by the Father, loved by the Son. I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And we need to trust in that, that I have peace. That there's a power source within me which is able to do abundantly beyond all that I ask or think. So no matter how I feel, this is what Jesus says. Be still and recognize Him and let Him love on you. Practice His presence. Let the Word of God give direction. Now, let me give you a little sample here. We know that David was a man after God's own heart. There's probably not a greater expression to man than for that to be said. But I want to tell you, King David was a mess. I'm talking about adultery. I'm talking about murder. If you looked at his resume, you would not want him to be your praise leader. God did. He was a worshiper. He was a man after God's own heart. So in spite of his messes and his mistakes, he had a heart that loved God and God loved him. It was beautiful. Now, let me tell you something. He wasn't a great parent. He did pretty good with Solomon, but for the rest of them, I'm just going to say, he is a bad parent. Okay? Hey, here it is. But I want to tell you something. We love the Psalms because he empties his emotions before God. And we identify with the Psalms because we say, that's like me. And I want you to just look at one right here. Psalm 42:5. I don't have time to do. I want to do so much. Oh, I got to share with you. I got to get on with this. But let me share this with you. Look what he does that most modern Christians are not willing to do. Why are you cast down, O my inner self? I want to tell you what he's willing to do that most Christians are not willing to do. He's willing to get on to himself. He's willing to talk tough to himself. He's willing to tell self-pity where to go and how to get there. Why should you moan over me? I'm telling you, hey, that pity party on the inside can get loud, can't it? Huh? It wants all the attention. It can get so loud. Oh, me, oh, me. And be so disquieted within me. Be like a storm on the inside of me. This is what he tells his soul, his emotions to do. Shut up. Why are you talking like that? Why are you acting like that? I'm going to tell you what to do, soul. You get your hope in God. You get your focus on God. And you wait expectantly for Him. Now, when you're waiting on the Lord, you're not just being a bump on a stump. Okay, you're waiting expecting. You're waiting seeking, asking, and knocking. Where's hope? Is hope in the building? Well, my goodness. Oh. I asked Hope the other day because I was doing a teen lesson. What did Aunt Lulu do? How did she wait expectantly for the little one? She was chewing on it a little bit. And I said, no, just tell me, how do you know that she was expecting the baby? What did she do? She said, well, she got the room ready. Right. I said, what else? She said, she got her bag ready. I said, right. And so even though it wasn't there at the moment, she organized and arranged her life, got her life in order to receive that baby when he arrived. Wait expectantly for him. Put your hope in God and get your life in order. Huh? You're praying for rain? Plow the field. You know what? Hey, get the room ready. You're expecting. You have hope in the Lord. You put your hope and your focus on God. Get your room ready. Get your life ready. Get things lined up to receive. Are you expecting? Are you pregnant with the desire of what God wants to do in your life? That's where we need to park. And I want to tell you, you need to get your bag ready. Because he's telling his soul, you get your focus on God. And we're getting ready to receive. And you know what? It'll come soon and very soon. I'm going to shout the shout of victory because God is my help. He's my God and He's my help. Somebody say amen. Amen. So you keep asking, you keep knocking till there's breakthrough. And so you reach out to God. If you don't reach out to the Lord and lay this stuff at His feet and practice letting the Lord love on you, then discouragement, disappointment, depression, it turns into something. I've got to say this. I don't think I've ever said this publicly. But it goes something like this. If you let grief and sorrow and disappointment stay here, and you don't give it to God, I want to tell you what happens over a long term. Would you listen real carefully? It turns into a no inside you toward God. It could be a silent no, but it turns into a no. And you may not even recognize it. But hey, the name of it is unbelief. It's hard to receive from the Lord when you have a no of unbelief. But if you let that stuff stay in this soil, it's going to spring forth root. God's so powerful, He can bring good out of evil. And this is what He wants to do. This way. He doesn't send evil. I'm going to preach on that in a couple weeks. You be sure and be here. But I'm telling you, because that sermon is probably going to make a few waves. Okay, He doesn't send evil, but He can redeem it. He can redeem what the enemy means for evil with good. And He's promised to do so for your good and for His glory. Now, let me give you this picture right quick. He's not going to let you lose in the end. But you must learn how to win. I'm going to tell you this story. I didn't know this story until just recently. Paps told me this story. And it went like this. When I was in second grade, there was a sixth grader beating me up. This sixth grader was pretty tall, thin. The embarrassing part of this is that it was a girl. I'm just telling you. Sixth grade girl was beating me up. And what she could do, she was lean enough and long enough, she could hold my head with one hand and she could work me over with the other one. And I was getting whooped. I come into the house and Pappy told me, next time, you put on your football helmet. Okay. Now I want to tell you, when you have your helmet of salvation, you have assurance and confidence in God, and it gives you boldness. Next time, situation came up, I went and put on my football helmet, and I was able to charge her, and it didn't matter what she did to my head. She wasn't going to hurt me. I took care of business that day, and I came out a victor. And you know what? I didn't have any more problem with that situation. Now, let me tell you something. I didn't know this, but Paps was standing at the window watching. And so, let me explain to you, and listen with your heart. He was not going to let me be destroyed, but He had to let me battle. I had to learn to battle. I had to learn to win. Now, I'm here to say this to you. Your Father loves you. He's not going to let you be destroyed. But I want to tell you, we're here for reigning training. And I want to tell you, it's best to cooperate with Him, because I want to tell you something. You got to learn to battle. This is not heaven. This is earth. It's a battlefield. And in order for you to walk in the victory of Christ, in order for you to be an overcomer, you got to overcome something. You got to learn how to apply the faith and the Word of God and the holy boldness of God, the helmet of salvation, and you got to learn how to battle. You got to learn how to fight. Now, let me go ahead and make this personal. You know, part of a parent's responsibility, grandparents' responsibility, is teach your kids and your grandkids how to battle. Okay. They got to learn how to fight. You know what I'm talking about, right? Because I don't have time to go any further with this. But the battle of the mind is the first thing. One of the things you got to tell your kids, teach your kids how to battle, is how to deny their self. Because they're born selfish. They're born like you. They wear this flesh. They're born self-centered. They're born, oh me, easy for me. And so one of the things that parents get to do, coaches, is to teach them how to battle, how to deny self. Because if they don't learn how to deny self and put others before themselves or Jesus before, you understand they're going to be victims. Okay, well, that's not easy to say, but there's a whole lot right there. You kids have got to learn how to fight. I got more on that, and I don't. But I'll tell you what, I'm gonna let's move on. Romans 8:28. We are assured. This is where you need to be. We got to be assured. Somebody circle assured. And we need to be assured. We need to be confident. And we need to know God well enough to have confidence in Him. Do you see that? And know? Assured and know. We need to have confidence in God. Enough confidence to know that God being a partner in our labor, all things will work together for good and are fitting to a plan for good. For good. God's working all things together for good to those who love God and are called according to His design and purpose. Now, I hear people that are just absolutely neck deep in wickedness claim this verse. I want to tell you, That's not right. Okay. You see the latter part of that verse?
Yeah.
To those who love God and are called according to His design and purpose. Let me tell you, that's a heart that's in humility before God. That's a heart that is laying their junk at the feet, the throne of God, and receiving the tender, loving care. This is talking about a person who's balanced where Jesus is the center. You know what this is talking about? This is talking about a Christian that's cooperating with God. If you're not cooperating with God, guess what? You won't see the benefit of this verse with your physical eyes if you're not cooperating with God. But if you are cooperating with God, you will see the benefit of God's promise here with your physical eyes. You're going to see it happen. Is that exciting? Man, that's so good. I love that. He's so big. He's so good. He's so loving. But we need to cooperate with Him. Galatians 3:13, Christ purchased our freedom, redeeming us from the curse, the doom of the law, and its condemnation, by Himself becoming a curse for us. Do you understand? When He went on the cross, He took all the curses. Your history, your family history, your wrong decisions, the curses of this earth that came from Adam and Eve, I want to tell you, He took all the curses on the cross for you. He became your curse. He took it away. This is beautiful. For it's written in the Scriptures, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, is crucified. And so, if you have any idea, well, Brother Tim, I think the Lord sent this. I've had Him tell me, the Lord blessed me with this sickness. He has blessed me with this sickness. No, He has not. Okay? Sickness is not a blessing. If He blessed you with sickness, why are you trying to get well for? Okay. That might have been a little smart there, but I'm trying to get a point over. But let me just explain something to you. If you have any question in your mind about what is a curse, what is a blessing, go to Deuteronomy 28. About the first 14 verses, talks about what all a blessing is. And then it talks for the next 25, 30 verses what all a curse is. And I want to just tell you, hey, it's good reading for you. Now remember, that's Old Testament, that's Old Covenant. But I want to tell you, Jesus took the curse for us. But I want to tell you something. We're still in a fallen world. There's a real devil. There's a real flesh. And I want to tell you, this stuff shows up. But when it does show up, we don't have to live with it. Because Jesus became a curse for us. And so He paid the price for our freedom for the curse. Now we get to battle. We get to learn how to trust God. We get to learn how to receive from the Lord. But I want to tell you, one of the blessings is this, is that your family will be blessed. One of the blessings is health. You say, well, Brother Tim, what about this thing? Well, what about Aunt Susie? She was so spiritual. I can't answer all those questions. I'm just telling you what Bible says. And in the curses is list sicknesses of all kinds. And so don't say, I don't know about Aunt Susie. But let me tell you a secret here. We don't judge God based on human experience. We determine what the Lord's like, what His nature is like, by looking at His Word. Amen. His Word shows us what His nature is. I thank God Aunt Susie was spiritual. I don't understand why she had cancer. I don't understand a bunch of things. But I want to tell you, don't go against the Bible and say that God sent her bad. Because Jesus made it real clear why He came. And He said, it's the enemy that come to steal, kill, and destroy. And He said, I've come to bring life. That's John 10:10. He said, I've come to bring life to you, and life more abundantly. Amen. Now I want to tell you, Jesus is the perfect expression of Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so when you see Jesus, you see the perfect expression of Father. And Jesus healed them all. Bible says that sickness is a curse. Bible says that poverty is a curse. I want to tell you. I know that our world is so twisted up, and some Christians too, but they want to blame God for bad things that happen. I'm going to preach on this in a couple weeks. I'm trying to get you interested and be here. More people need to be here, you know? But it goes something like this. As a matter of fact, in Deuteronomy 28, I think it's 24, I think it is. It talks about curses, and it talks about how that weather can be a curse. How that weather can be destructive. And if weather's destructive, it's a curse. And so whenever a destructive weather pattern hits and destroys things, don't blame it on God. Boy, that seemed to be so simple, but we get so twisted up. I had a pastor friend in Arkansas back decades ago, and a tornado hit his home and destroyed his home and nobody else's home. He was the only home hit in town. And so, boy, the news people could not resist it. Why did God destroy your house? He was just real simple. I loved it. I appreciate him so much. I hugged him later for it. And he said, it wasn't God, it was a tornado. Well, where was God when this happened to your house? He said, He protected my whole family. No one was even scratched. That's where God was. And I want to tell you, is that simple? But that's good. I appreciated that. Okay, that represents something. But Christ purchased our freedom. So He's purchased, He's paid for your freedom from the curse. And so we can be free. And so part of the journey, the exciting journey of the Christian life, is discovering how to walk in the freedom that Jesus paid for. That's what growth is called. That's what reigning training is for. That's how that we practice learning to battle so we can win. But here it is. You don't just win for yourself. Get this, Justin. You win for everybody else that you're going to touch in the name of Jesus. Not just for you. It is for you. It is for your family. It's for everybody you're going to touch. Oh, man. I tell you what, I could camp out there a while. Why did He come? He come that we might have His life and have it more abundantly. Now, Christ delivered us from the curse of the law. Under the old covenant, it works like this. And this is why you have to be careful when you go back to the old covenant. It's a different pair of glasses. Old covenant was like this. You must, you must, you must, you must, you must. If you don't, I won't. New Testament's completely different. It's a new covenant. Christ came and He said, I did, I did, I did. So now you can receive. He has declared us righteous. So we're not righteous by our do's and don'ts. We're righteous because He's given it to us as a gift. Now, because we have the gift of righteousness, we're free to receive all that He paid for. It's your inheritance. It's your inheritance. Hey, it's your birthright when you receive the new birth. Hey, He set us free to receive our freedom. And so, new covenant goes like this. You forget the you must. It goes like this, see Jesus, see Jesus, see Jesus, see Jesus. Focus on Jesus. He did, He did, He did. We practice remembering Him. It's not in our doing, it's in seeing Jesus, and we're trusting on Jesus, relying on Jesus, depending on Jesus. And guess what? After we practice receiving, and after we practice being in this love life with the Lord, we love Him back. I love, I love, I love. And then I do, I do, I do. But it's a result of what He's done. Not to get what He's done. It's a result of what He's done. Is that beautiful? Aren't you glad you're living in New Covenant days? Wow, I am three. That's more than two. I am three. Look at this, Isaiah 53:5. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt. Anybody here guilty? Come on, over the mess, past experiences, past mistakes. Hey, what about the things done wrong? He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement, the needful to obtain peace and well-being for us, was upon Him. He paid for our well-being and our peace. Peace is your birthright. He came that you might have peace in your heart and in your life. He came that we might have well-being in our soul and in our body and in our life. Is that beautiful? This was placed upon Him. He paid for it. With the stripes that wounded Him, we are healed and made whole. Do you love that made whole? The chastisement, the punishment for our well-being fell upon Him. Now that's probably all I got time for, so I'm going to probably stop right there. I'm going to tell you a little story here, and it sounds silly, but hopefully you'll catch it. We've got to be real careful about putting our emotions, taking our wrong emotions, wrong feelings, self-pity. I'm telling you, self-pity is dangerous. It's the source of all grief and sorrow. I'm telling you, self-pity is an enemy. We're crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, but Christ liveth. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself with me. I'm crucified with Christ. I want to tell you, when you're crucified with Christ, self-pity doesn't have a voice. But listen at this. Our world is so turned over, dark, and wicked in such a lie. And the enemy just amplifies this. But you know, I'm just going to give you a silly example that I hope will show you something. You know, there can be stories, and you can believe a lie, of people telling you that your finger is firewood. That your finger is a match. That your finger is firewood. And if you listen to that over and over and over again, hey, faith cometh by hearing. Unbelief comes by hearing. Doubt, speculation comes by. What are you listening to? If you hear over and over and over again, Pastor, that your finger is firewood, you can start believing. A lie often told is soon believed. You can start believing that your finger is firewood. If you believe that, you know, you can actually develop a feeling toward that. Hey, I'm announcing to you. You can develop feelings that your finger is firewood. And then you can just believe that the purpose of your finger is to be on fire. That would be the ultimate purpose, is for my finger to be. I feel like my finger's firewood. I believe my finger's firewood. Other people believe it. But I want to tell you something. Listen, you're free to choose. Do you understand? God gave you a chooser. And you're free to choose. You can choose to believe a lie. You can choose to believe wrong feelings. Because I'm announcing to you, if you believe a lie, you're going to have wrong feelings. And I want to tell you, you can believe to the place that you can set your finger on fire to fulfill its purpose. But you do not have any choice about the result. Are you listening? You have no choice. You can choose to set that firewood finger on fire, but you don't have any choice about the consequences. And the consequence is, it's going to burn. It's going to be painful. Listen, listen, listen. It's going to be destructive. There's a lot of voices out there saying the opposite of what God says. But if we take that in and we start hearing it, unbelief comes by hearing. And you can actually develop wrong feelings about lies to the place that you choose to operate on them. Wrong feelings. And you know what? It becomes a destructive lifestyle. So, we have a choice. We can choose to believe God. Sorrow and grief will sneak into our life and produce a no toward God. This is why it's important to take all of our cares, our sorrows, our mistakes, our weaknesses, our griefs, our sorrows, and lay them at His feet. And let the Lord set us free. And let Him tenderly and lovingly care and love on us, because that's what restores us. And that's what renews us. Okay? I got another example, but I don't think I need to do that on podcast. I may do that afterwards. And I love you so much. I want us to bow our heads in prayer. And I want you to understand that pride will sneak up and give self-pity fuel. But I want to tell you, self-pity invites more depression and more grief and more sorrow. You know, it's easy to recognize pride when it's haughty and when it's outward. But it's harder to recognize pride when it's inward, but it's so destructive. When you are self-consumed and operating in self-pity, that's pride inward. Are you listening? And it can show up in a religious way, where you say, and before God, I'm just not worthy for blessing. I just need to suffer. I just need to suffer. I'm just here to suffer for the Lord. Well, I want to tell you what that is. That's pride inward. It's religious pride. And I want to tell you, God resists it. Even amongst His own, He resists pride. And so it's very, very important to clothe ourselves in humility before God and man. And that way we can receive the TLC from the Lord as we cast our care upon Him. And He can set us free from the bondage of grief and sorrow. Why don't we practice that right now? I want you just to take what the Holy Spirit's brought to your mind in this message. And I want you to lift it before the Lord. Just lay it down at His feet. And just say with me, Lord Jesus, I give this to You. I surrender this junk to You. Lord, I give it up. I renounce it. Lord, I choose to forgive all those who have wounded and offended me. Because, Lord, You forgave me. And, Lord, based on Your forgiveness and Your faith, I just announce by my will that they're forgiven. And, Lord, in Your name, I receive Your healing comfort. Come, Lord, I receive healing in my heart, healing in my memories, healing from grief and sorrow. And Lord, I just renounce those things in Jesus' name, and I declare that I lean on Jesus, I trust in Jesus, I depend on Jesus, I surrender myself to Jesus completely and totally. And Lord, I receive Your TLC. Now, would you just be still before the Lord right now and let Him come and love on you? Let Him come and minister to you life and hope and love. Lord, I just take authority over all condemnation right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just cast it down at Your feet. And we just declare the forgiveness of the Lord flows. The love of the Lord flows. The comfort, healing of the Lord flows. And we receive what You're doing. Lord, by faith, we say yes to You. And we give You praise. We give You thank yous. And I want you to just be still before the Lord a moment. And would you just give the Lord some personal thank yous? Would you love Him back? Would you say yes to the Lord for the liberty and the freedom that He's bringing to your life? Just be still and recognize that He's the Lord right now. Lord Jesus, we thank You. Thank You for the powerful work of Your Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord, that You move by Your Spirit up and down each one of these aisles. and you've touched hearts and healed hearts. And Lord, we give you honor and glory. And we thank you for the continual work that you're doing in our life. Thank you, Lord, for renewal. Thank you for restoration. Thank you for freedom and liberty. And Lord, thank you for love life. And I just speak in the name of Jesus, great blessing on these folk this week. Great divine protection, great favor, great blessing. And Lord, I just speak peace into their homes. I declare in Jesus' name that they will prosper in every way. And Lord, we bless them today in Jesus' name. And all the saints said, amen, amen. Amen.